More info at WPFWFM.org. It's your opportunity to contribute ideas and speak your piece.
I'm Kamaya.
I'm Amira.
I'm Kaya.
I'm Kamaya.
And you're listening to WPFW Washington.
Another man done gone. Another man done gone from the county farm. Another man done gone.
Huh? I don't know. What? I'm just going to walk the street.
Shut your mouth.
Oh, no. What'd I do?
Turn around. Put your hands behind your back. Let's go.
A jury of your peers having found you guilty. 10 years.
What?
Come on. Get that.
I was in jail, too, man. It's cold-blooded in the jail. You go down there looking for justice. That's what you find. Just us.
Welcome to another edition of Crossroads Today. Now here's your host, Roach Brown.
Good morning and good morning. Welcome to Crossroads. We come to you every week at the same time on the same station. WPFW 89.3 FM. Your station for jazz and justice. Crossroads is heard around the world, and we've been focusing on issues pertaining to the incarcerated, the newly released, as well as the entire criminal justice system. We got an interesting show for you this morning. What does this election mean for Black people? And we have a dynamic guest. But before we do that, we open up with what we call the grapevine information that you can use, the grapevine. Hey. Donald Trump won more Black voters than any Republican in 48 years. President-elect Donald Trump won more Black voters than any Republican candidate was able to do in nearly 50 years. That's unbelievable. Trump's voter base remained white and working class people, but the rise in the number of other groups, including Black, Hispanic, and first-time voters, allowed him a pathway to the White House. Boy, that don't take the cake. Trump gained the largest share of Black and Latino voters. Can you hear me? Okay. Trump gained the largest share of Black and Latino voters than he did in 2020 when he lost to Democrat Joe Biden, and most notably among men under age 45. Boy, this don't take the cake. Overdose deaths are rising among Black and Indigenous Americans. Experts say responses such as mobile and mail order safety supplies are needed. The recent decline in overdose deaths hides a tremendous disparity by race. Deaths have fallen only among white people, while continue to rise among people of color. Health experts in non-white communities say they are finding strategies that work in areas, but they still struggle for recognition and funding to address the problem, especially among Black and Native Americans. Tracy Gardner, co-director of the National Black Harm Reduction Network, said Black and Native people often have trouble navigating white-dominated institutions, including many harm reduction agencies. Such agencies need to have more people of color in leadership positions to gain the trust of Black and Native American people who use drugs. It is our contention that Black harm reduction isn't about drug use. It's about the harm of not being a white person in this country. The only people doing worse or possibly poor are Native Americans. Here's something that didn't surprise me at all. Private prison stocks jumped on Trump's appointment of immigration hardliner Tom Holman. During the last of the current administration, President Biden stopped all contracting with the federal with private correctional companies. He put a ban on a moratorium. Now that Trump won, the stock for two of the two largest prison companies, private prison stocks, GEO Group and CoreCivic, rose Monday, 4% to 6% respectively. Additionally, there was a statement made that they would embrace President Trump's re-election bid. You're talking about privatizing. We thought that all the private prisons were going away. Folks, they are on their way back. With Trump returning to the White House, there will be a far firmer embrace of GEO Group and Core Civic. The second Trump administration would allow for a contract with the U.S. Marshals Service and the Federal Bureau of Prisons. But this is going to continue. And you're talking about deporting thousands of migrants. They have to have a detention facility. So this private prison industry is looking like it's going to boom and boom under Donald Trump. California voters shoot down proposed ban on forced prison labor. California's constitution allowed for forced labor as punishment for crime. The measure known as Proposition 6 would have amended the state's constitution to ban forced labor in all circumstances. The state's constitution currently allows for an exception for forced labor bans in the case of punishment for crime. The measure was part of a wider movement among far-left Democrats in California who want the state to atone for past racism against Black residents. This ties into the 13th Amendment on the Constitution said that slavery should be abolished in these United States except as punishment. And other states and activists have been trying to get that removed from the federal Constitution. And Proposition 6 was the attempt in California to ban prison labor as slavery. And now because they lost this bill, it's like, folks, we're still in slavery. If we don't get rid of the 13th Amendment, the amendment that says slavery shall be abolished except as punishment in these United States. Folks, things don't look too good for us on the home front. Good morning. Good morning, Mark Thompson. How you doing? Good morning.
Well, now, is that how you greet your brother? You don't say Merry Christmas no more? Isn't that how you supposed to greet people?
You jumped the gun on me, Mark. That was yesterday. I said that halfway through the show. How you doing? Our guest this morning is Mark Thompson, civil rights activist, broadcaster, host of a podcast called Make It Plain. He's been on Sirius for a few years. Mark is from Washington, been in Washington, D.C., working with him back in the trenches. And we decided to have somebody in who got their pulse on the community, who knows what's happening locally and nationally, what the impact of this election has on our Black community, particularly all those people impacted by the criminal justice system. And I was surprised, Mark, that 48 to 50% of the men in prison and women voted for Trump, even though they weren't allowed to vote. They support Trump. And it's unbelievable. And I think it came down to a prosecutor versus a convicted felon. Trump had 34 felons each conviction. Kamala is a prosecutor. But regardless of that, we are hurting, man. In fact, when Trump's last administration, the last 6 months of Trump is in the White House, he executed 13 people. Trump talking about bringing back the death penalty, bringing the military to the streets, longing sentences. Man, this is unbelievable. What's your take? Our topic is, what does this election mean for Black people? And joining us, Mark, is none other than the dynamic Nkechi Taifa, our co-host. Good morning, Nkechi. Well, she'll join us.
Good morning. Good morning, Roach. Good morning, Martine. Good morning, Maximella, my Fumo, my brother, Mark Thompson. How's everybody today? Winter is coming, y'all, in more ways than one. Gil Scott Heron said it. Winter is coming.
All right, Mac, Mark, what's your take on this? What happened with the election with Trump and Kamala Harris? And why did we have such a big turnout from Black people? It's unbelievable. I'm still in shock.
Well, it wasn't as much of a turnout of support for Trump as much as it was a low turnout for us for Kamala Harris. Not as many of us came out as we should have to actually vote. Mm-hmm. I'm actually not surprised by what you heard from our incarcerated or offender, ex-offender community. Because remember, you know, a lot of social media has been targeting our people, particularly Black men. And it's been targeting them with rappers whom Trump has pardoned. See, that's the thing now. People have got this impression that if you Black and locked up, Trump going to pardon you. So there's a certain, no, I'm serious, man. So there's an incentivization with Trump. What's Eric Adams doing up here in my city, New York, right now?
Mm-hmm.
Kissing up to Trump because he faced an indictment.
Yes.
Okay. He's a Democrat kissing up to Trump. So that doesn't surprise me as much. It's unfortunate, but that's what happened. But this election is actually devastating to the whole country. And but you know, the Harris campaign, I'm just gonna be real with you. She had this is a black woman who had 107 days to get this job done. What she did in 107 days was historic and phenomenal. But she had a lot of problems internally because there were Biden people who did not want to let go. Now, y'all mark my words, more is going to come out. There were people left over from the Biden folks who tried to sabotage her. There were other Democrats who did not want her to be the nominee who tried to sabotage her and did because they want to run in 2028. All right, that's the internal stuff. And the other internal piece was part of the sabotage was preventing resources and dollars getting to grassroots organizations like we know to get the black vote out. All right, that's the internal stuff. The external stuff is this. Once again, white women voted for Donald Trump. And this is a conversation we need to start having. Dr. King gave his life, that last year of his life, trying to build a beloved community. Remember, before that, he even said, I fear I've been trying to integrate my people into a burning house. I think if he were around today, Roach, he might say, I fear that I'm trying to build a beloved community that's impossible to build, that doesn't want to love us.
And I go along with that. Yeah.
Now watch this, watch this. Up until last Tuesday, so we got to talk about this. White women voted in every election for Democrats in response to the reversal of Roe. White women carried every election that Democrats won in response to the reversal of Roe. But when the black woman is on the ticket, even in states where abortion restoration was on the ballot, the restoration of Roe, they voted for Roe and then voted for the white man, Trump, who reversed Roe in the first place. So we got to have a conversation. And lastly, just one more point that's fun. The numbers don't quite add up either, y'all. You mean to tell me that this black woman, this candidate, raised $1 billion and could not win one battleground state? And in each of these battleground states, the margin of victory is almost identical. It's between 1 and 200,000, number one. Number two, they voted for other Democrats down the ballot and voted for Trump. So we're supposed to believe 350,000 people in North Carolina, Democrats, 350,000 Democrats, voted for Josh Stein to be the new Democratic governor, but voted against Kamala Harris. That wait a minute, Wisconsin, all right, voted for a Democratic first lesbian in the Senate, but voted against a black woman. Something don't add up. I mean, you're talking about two minorities. You're talking about two constituencies.
Yes.
So I'm okay with a white lesbian in the Senate. And you should be. You had no problem with that. But I got a problem with a black woman. But Democrats voted for Gallego in Arizona and voted for Trump, a senator who comes from a family of immigrants. We don't like immigrants because we like Trump, but we're going to vote for an immigrant for senator and vote for Trump who hates immigrants. So these numbers, we got to look at these numbers because, you know, and I'm hearing from folk, Roach, I don't normally hear from on stuff like this. Folk ain't like me, you, and Dick Gregory and Nikichi. The folks ain't conspiratorial like us. I'm hearing from big name white folks saying, remark, something don't look right in this.
You know, one of the things that grabbed me, I went through the hood, Mark, and talked to people at the Ben's Chili Bowl, people getting off of the bus. I said, hey, what's your take on this election? And what surprised me is that quite a few brothers, man, are still hung up in that gender misinformation. Can't no black woman run me. Can't no black woman be in charge. A woman can't tell me nothing. But yet your mother was a woman, and she raised you and taught you everything that you know. But this genderite, I call it genderitis, from these brothers who say that a black woman can't be in charge of me for nothing. And this played a part. Then you get guys inside of prison and guys in the street who said she was a prosecutor. So what? My best friend, when I was in prison, got to be the warden. Me and the warden got to be tight. We had a couple guys on, they were cops. It doesn't matter to me what your uniform on, what your profession is. It's where your heart is. And we talking about a white man and a black woman, and they picked Trump. Man, it hurt me too. I'm still hurting, man. For somebody to insult, disrespect, curse you out, insult, humiliate your wife, your woman, your family, threaten you. Man, I trust people with character. If you talk to me a certain way, I'm going to talk back to you. But you don't denigrate or denounce me or humiliate me, then expect me to support you. I don't understand this kind of logic. And it blew me away. And I see guys right now call me, one of my sons was supporting Trump. And I was upset, man. I mean, I was really upset. This man got 34 felony convictions. I got 3. I couldn't get a job. Now, he's running for president of the United States. All the damage he did, he talked about them pardons that you mentioned about all them guys waiting for over the D.C. jail. They still have some of that January 6th mob over there, that crowd over there. And they're waiting. And Trump is talking about pardon these folk. And they took over, try to take over, overthrow the government. I don't understand what's going
well,
on.
Well, let me just say this. You said that they said that Kamala Harris was a prosecutor. Well, Donald Trump is a dictator and a fascist. Okay. So, I mean, you know, and let me just speak about white women for a moment, if I may. They vote against their own interests all of the time. They vote against their own interests. And, you know, I think quietness is kept. They don't want a black woman to become president before a white woman is president. And I think that has a lot
to do with it. Yes.
Well. They're going to stand by their man, you know, whatever. And I hope brothers don't forget that it wasn't but so long ago that white women falsely accused black men of rape. Okay, even though the white woman might have, you know, whatever, were ABC 123, and it's responsible really for many of the lynchings that's gone on. So, hey, I don't know what to say. I will say this, Mark. I really appreciate your analysis. And I am shocked that, like you said, I have not heard that en masse from centrists. Folk, I have not heard that, but what you're saying makes a hell of a lot of sense. How some people can get elected on the Democratic ticket and other people can't.
Well, but let me just say something too about white women. See, the only thing I'm disagreeing with what you're saying, Nikichi, white women had an opportunity to elect a white woman, and they didn't do it. They did not believe that Donald Trump would be as bad as he was in 2016, okay? And again, there was a job done on Hillary Clinton. That, you know, there were, see, they do things that Democrats right. don't do. They run disinformation campaigns. Right. And if you remember 2016, all the white women said, there's just something about Hillary. They can never say what it was. There's just something about her. Now, ever since then, you have not seen a white woman on television say anything other than how she regrets that. What went under the radar, okay, is not just a black woman. White women in the majority voted for Trump again in 2020 over Biden. So there's something going on with white women and this control, this control white men still have over them. And I was just reading something just a couple of days ago by a political theorist by the name of William Connolly, who says no matter where what situation we're in or what context we're in, there is an element of and I'm paraphrasing, an element of white womanhood that sees its success tied up in its still in the survival of white men. Okay. But I'm also saying this. It's still, I mean, of course there's gonna be some white woman going to vote against a black woman. But to have the majority after, see, it's an act of defiance for a white woman to vote to restore Roe. That's a bigger threat to white maleness than a black woman president. And that's why I'm saying we got to look at these numbers. I guess what I'm saying is I don't quite believe, all right, that an absolute majority of white women voted for Roe and voted against her. See, if you can send a text message, you can get all our phone. All of us got a text message Wednesday saying we're going back to slavery. Who can get all us phone, all our phone? How to get your phone number, Roach? How to get mine? How to get my team? Can get everybody's phone number, you can probably affect the outcome of some of the numbers.
You can.
Hello?
Yes.
So I'm not convinced. And I mean, I talked to white, I've called white women. They say, Mark, we don't know what this is. I mean, big white women who in the world call me and say, brother, just hold tight. We didn't do this. I said, well, it says y'all did. Said, we don't know nobody who did this. We can't find the white women who did this. All right. So I'm just saying, y'all, especially when there was an opportunity. See, here's the other reality. If white women value their bodily autonomy, voting for Trump negates it because they're going to pass with this trifecta, Republican House, Republican Senate, Supreme Court. They're going to pass a ban on women's right to have an abortion and their reproductive freedom. And I'm still can't quite see white women after voting against this for the past few years after Dobbs, all of a sudden, well, just because there's a black woman, we gonna give our bodily autonomy up altogether. Now you got to convince me of that.
You know, this stuff is scary. When you mentioned the Supreme Court, it hurt, man, to know that I was in prison. And the only way that you can get out, if you lose your case in appeal, you go to the Supreme Court. And when you hear the name Supreme Court, it implies it's the right thing. You're going to get whatever justice or righteousness you got coming, it's going to come to you. But when you go to the Supreme Court, they receive 25,000 petitions plus a year, and they only take 8 to 10 cases. So when you file to the Supreme Court and they tell you, I was serving life, and they told me, we don't want to hear it. My last hope was the Supreme Court. And they said, they don't want to hear it. Now, when Trump appointed those last three people to the Supreme Court, these conservative members to the Supreme Court, one of the things I asked myself is, they got police departments all across the country, Mark, who got police officers who've been denied the right to testify in court because of their credibility and character. But yet they still remain on the force. If we got Supreme Court justices who supposed to be upstanding righteous, and you get whatever law you got coming to you, when you turn around and see that the Supreme Court is full of the same old jiggy boogie that we see in Congress every day and all around the street, how can somebody who's tainted or tarnished have the authority to okay death penalties or death sentences to be carried out? And they are doing the same illegal, questionable, immoral, unethical acts up in the Supreme Court, yet they got the authority to legislate or pass laws that would execute you or let you out, but yet they can do whatever they want to do because there's no accountability for them. There's nowhere in America that you can go where everybody, that agency, institution, association is working 100% right, fair. Whatever you got coming to you. The Supreme Court, some of the federal judges, when Trump coming back in now, he's asking for this pass-through to make sure that all his selectees get rushed through Congress. And some of these folks, and the last time, he put people on the bench who wasn't even judges, wasn't even lawyers. He appointed people to the federal bench who didn't even have no legal background, but yet they legislate and they can influence your life for the next 10, 20, 30 years. This stuff is crazy, man.
And you know, the Supreme Court, it operates with absolute supremacy. There is no accountability. There are no qualifications. There are no ethics. It is a corrupt institution.
Yes. Absolutely.
And back to the sisters and brothers who incarcerated looking for Trump. See, if we had done all we needed to do, and if she had won, and if we had won the House and kept the Senate, we could have changed the Supreme Court. Put some ethics on the Supreme Court, one, and even expanded its numbers and put term limits on those
Judges, yes.
On those judges. So that's another opportunity lost. But, you know, I think that the challenge before us, Roach, now, Roach, you a little bit older than me.
No, I ain't.
But we come.
I'm 35, Mark.
I know that's right. Then I'm older than you then. Amen.
Yeah, plus tax.
But we come out the same movement, out the same knowledge, out the same legacy, out the same generation of activism and understanding our role as African-Americans in this polity. Social media has taken over, and propaganda on social media and disinformation on social media has taken over the hearts and minds of a generation of our Black people. And we got to get back in there somehow and let folk know we are people. We ain't just individuals out here. We ain't got nowhere just being individual and just having these thoughts. We got to work together as a people and have a collective mindset when it comes to our ongoing. Let me tell you what's historic, and Nikisha will appreciate this. I was there at Howard on election night, and I assumed that the visual would be Kamala Harris coming out to make her speech from Founders Library, which is the iconic image in every pitch at Howard. But you know what she did? She set up her stage in front of Douglas Hall.
Hmm.
And let me tell you why that's important. And Nikich, you'll appreciate this.
All right, I'm listening.
That's where Ron Walters' office was.
Yes.
Ron Walters.
Yeah, history and political science.
Political. In the 20th century, there was no greater political theorist in the 20th century, greater than Du Bois, other or equal to him or peer than Ron Walters, and prolific. And what Ron Walters said once is that we must always operate within the context of our, within the historical context of our ongoing liberation struggle. That's two words, historic and ongoing. And if we ain't doing that, we ain't doing anything for ourselves. But history is not taught. Some there's this cliche running around saying young people don't want to hear that they need to vote because people died for it. Well, first of all, if there are young people saying it, if they are saying this, a lot of things are made up to make us turn against our own young people. But if there are young people saying that, what's wrong with that? White folks are operating out of their own historical context. And as Dr. Frances Cress Welsing would say, who was a frequent a contributor here on WPFW herself, she would say that is their historical context to maintain their own status and their own white supremacy. We got to maintain our ongoing liberation struggle. It ain't over. It ain't stopped. If you don't have what you think you should have, that's because of racism, ongoing racism and white supremacy, amongst other isms that are going on in this country. So we've got to get back to these upcoming generations understanding what it means for our ongoing liberation struggle and getting involved in it and looking at things in that lens and within that context. This was an historic election, and Kamala Harris should have won. And as I'm saying, we may yet find there was some funny business going on. Y'all really believe all them people voted for these other Democrats and voted for Trump too? Y'all really believe that? You really believe that the women in Arizona, the white women in Arizona, voted to restore Roe to their state constitution over the objection of the Supreme Court and then said, and I'm going to do this, and then I'm also going to vote for the man who took away Roe to begin with. Y'all really believe that?
Hmm.
I mean, I know how we feel about some folk, and I so know some folk are wrong and racist, but I'm like Dr. King. I have some faith in humanity. All them women didn't do that.
You know, Joy Reid, the reporter on CNN.
MSNBC.
Yeah, MSNBC. She made a statement the other day on air that the white women were supporting, uniting with the sisters to vote against Trump. And she felt that the white population, the white ladies, turned against the black females and went with Trump. And she said that the white folk are having a town hall, national town hall, to see what they can do to prepare for this Roe versus Wade fiasco. And she said that don't call no black sisters to participate in nothing that's anti-Trump, because they're not supporting us in returns to this thing with Trump. One of the things that hit me is Trump promised to militarize the police and reincarcerate thousands and expand the death penalty. At the beginning of the show, I mentioned two of the largest private prison companies in America, Core Civic and GEO Group. The next day after the election, their stock went up through the roof, 4% and 6%. Biden stopped all contracting with private businesses. So that helped, that hurt this correctional industry for the last 4, 5, 6 years. Now they're coming in. When he brought in Holman to be the director, to be the immigrant czar, to get rid of all the migrants and deport them back across the country, you realize that when they lock up the migrants, they have to detain them. So that's a facility, that's a building. So these two private companies that owns most of the detention facilities that they've been housing these migrants in, so their stock shot up. They know that Trump is going to embrace the private prison industry. So we're seeing more people going to be incarcerated all over the country, deported out of the country. And they're talking about expanding the police, man, militarizing the police. This sounds like Nazi Germany at the beginning stages, man, when Hitler did his thing and came with all these different statements. Hitler said he's going to do what he's going to do, and he did it. Trump said what he's going to do, and he's doing it. When somebody say he's going to do this, also, what really got my goat, in the last year of Trump's administration when he was president, they carried out 13 executions. He executed more people than any president in the last 40 years, and he's coming back in. The Central Park Five that got locked up in New York for raping this young white lady up in New York City, he took out an ad in the New York papers and said, let's execute him. And after 7 years of incarceration, they found out these five guys were innocent. But Trump hadn't apologized or said nothing. Suppose they went in and executed these five guys, and they found out that they were innocent. This kind of mean-spiritedness is taking all across the country, and they're going to talk about expanding the death penalty? Man, this is crazy. I don't know what it is. Nikichi, as an attorney, you and I both know that some of the things that Trump is talking about doing are anti-human beingness. That's another word I just came up with. Mark, you gave me that word, anti-human beingness. So Trump is being anti-human beingness. Go ahead, Nikichi.
Yeah, no, I'm hearing and agreeing everything with what you're saying. I think that there needs to be much more explicit out to the public the similarities between Hitler and Trump and what led up to Hitler coming to power and what led up to Trump. I think if nothing more, the wool has been removed or is being removed from people's eyes. I just hope it's not too late to correct course.
Let me break in. This is WPFW 89.3 FM, your station for jazz and justice. Crossroads is heard around the world every Tuesday at 10 o'clock. Tune in. And if you want to call in with a question or comment, the phone number is 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. If you had a question or comment for Mark Thompson or Nikichi Mertine or I, just call in with that question or comment. But I am really devastated. They're talking about increasing the incarceration rate across the country. It's 1.6 million people locked up right now. This number was skyrocketing with Trump in. They're talking about the death penalty, the militarizing the police. Man, you can't bring the police on, citizen. I mean, come on, man. This stuff is like me taking the police inside a daycare center and arresting all the kids in the daycare center. Because they underage. Underage for what? You know, they come up with these jiggy-boogie laws and processes. So people behind bars really blew me away that most folks, or a lot of folk in prison, looked at it from a narrow perspective, and that it was a prosecutor and a convicted felon or former president. And now because president-elect, the criminal charges, it's going to go away. All this money.
Well, with some of them.
Just the federal, not the state. Yeah.
The state charge can do it. But let me give you a little.
Wait a minute, Mark. We got one call on. Come on, you're on the air, please. Question or comment?
I got a comment.
Come on.
Yeah, I went to the poll to vote on October the 27th. I'm a Maryland resident. I voted in Maryland. I opted to do it electronically. And the first choice on the electronic ballot was for president. I chose Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, and on down the Democratic ticket. And before you hit the submit button, it gives you an opportunity to go back and review your picks. I almost hit the submit button without double checking because I knew who I picked, but something told me to double check. When I scrolled back up, my choice for president had changed.
Hmm.
And I was so distraught when I left there. When I was in the parking lot, I put a comment on my Facebook page trying to warn all of my friends to, if they file electronically, double check before you hit the submit button, because my choice for president had changed. That was the only thing that had changed on the ballot. And I also contacted the news media trying to get, this was October the 27th when I voted, and October the 28th I contacted the news media trying to get a warning out.
Wow.
Wow, that's interesting.
That's not the first time I've heard that.
Based on that experience, in my humble opinion, I don't know that the vote I cast, who it went to. And for that reason, I believe that there's been some monkey business going on in this. The election was rigged.
Some hanky-panky.
Yeah, that's not the first time we've heard that.
And the news reporter that I contacted for Channel 9, she contacted me back and wanted to get my permission to use my name and stuff. I told her yes. And she also mentioned to me that other people had called in with similar complaints.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. Thank you for calling in. We got two more callers. The next caller, you're on the air, please. Next caller. Question or comment? Turn down your radio, buddy.
I turned it off.
Okay. That's even better. Come on with it.
I want to comment on the statement the fellow made just before me.
Mm-hmm.
That same thing happened to me back when I was voting for Hillary Clinton, and I pressed the button, and I looked up, and it was for Trump.
Wow.
That was back then. And people ought to know that all these educated people don't understand that since Trump lost, they've been taking ballots off from all the people as far as Kamala Harris is concerned. He already said, he don't need their votes because he already had things set up for him to win.
Yes.
So he said, I don't even need votes. I already got this.
Yeah, the deck was already stacked. Take our next caller, please. Question or comment? You're on the air.
Hi.
Hello.
I think people really need to look at the numbers. Kamala Harris was a terrible candidate, and she was a terrible campaigner. And people forget that in the 2020 primaries, she barely got through the first month until she had to drop out. And the fact that black people are not this monolithic, and they're getting wider and wider in their diversity. We have huge class divisions based on economic status. We have huge class divisions based on religion, with more and more people not having any religious affiliation. We have huge disparity based on gender, and these things are not being accounted for. And Harris didn't say she was going to do anything. She talked about democracy, these aspirational, nebulous concepts, while Trump was saying, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this with immigrants. I'm going to do this with terrorists. I'm going to do this. And Harris never answered a direct question. She was a terrible campaigner. So,
man, I disagree with you. What's your name, brother? What's your name?
But that doesn't mean I'm not right.
Now, what's your name, brother?
She got 9 million fewer votes than Biden did in 2020. She did not inspire people. Okay.
Well, I don't know what you've been listening to, but I heard some things that she said she's going to do in her policies and agenda. You must not have listened to the same station. We'll take our next caller because I don't want to hear this yogi boogie, man. This lady, wait a minute. Let me just say this. It's a white man and a sister. I'd rather see a sister and everyone's going to treat me fair. You know what I mean? I don't care if she was a prosecutor or executor or whatever. I heard what she said about the criminal justice reform, about Roe versus Wade, the $20,000 for first-time home buyers, all this kind of stuff. Man, we don't come in and knock nobody. It ain't about knocking her. It's about what we're trying to do to our people. Our whole race is hurting, man. It's suffering. Go ahead, Nikisha. You got it.
Now, I want to hear Mark Thompson's analysis.
Go ahead, Mark.
On this one, because,
go ahead, Mark.
I mean, I was just flabbergasted listening to, I'm going to say, to the person who just called. Come on.
Well, let me just say this. You know, I've been doing radio more than half my life, and I can tell when someone is talking versus when someone is reading something. The brother was reading from a piece of paper. Now let me give you a couple of things to recognize, y'all. Whenever you hear someone say, "We as Black people are not monolithic," that is a phrase that originated in the Republican playbook. And that is someone who has been propagandized by the Republican Party and Black Republicans. Black people are not monolithic. First of all, no one's monolithic, but the fact of the matter is 99% of Black people, 90% of Black people vote the same way. And 80% of Jews and Muslims vote the same way as Black folk. Now, most of us Christian, watch this. The majority of white Christians in America voted with Trump. But Black folk, Jews, and Muslims, we out here trying to end a genocide in Gaza. We stand in solidarity with Palestinians. Yet, even the Jews and the Muslims agreed. Jews and Muslims getting ready to go to war in the Middle East. But they agreed in this country for the sister, with us. Now, what does that tell you? So when people call them talking about, well, Black folk ain't no monolith, that's just a
jiggy boogie.
It's an ignorant statement. And you can tell when somebody's reading something. And to say she was a terrible candidate, this was one of the greatest campaigns ever. Ain't nobody raised no $1 billion in 107 days.
Yes.
For her to do this in just the number alone, Hillary Clinton had 2 years to run. Barack Obama had years to run. Let me tell y'all something right now. Watch this. I'm going to say this, Nikisha. Watch this, and I'll be through. This whole, there was a disinformation meme started by a brother on social media that Kamala Harris' father is not her real father, but he's actually a white man. Okay? Now, and some folk bought into that. Now, if y'all Google right now, y'all try it, take my word. Google, look for an image on Google Images for a picture of the Loch Ness Monster, the Abominable Snowman, or Bigfoot. You're going to find one. Because people created them pictures even before the internet came to be. There's even the internet of the Martians when they met with Eisenhower in the 50s, a picture. And I knew about that anyway because Dick Gregory told me he was invited to the meeting and couldn't go, Roach. All right, that's good.
I want to hear that story.
You remember that? Yeah. So wait a minute. You can find all that. But if you Google Kamala Harris' white daddy, ain't no picture. They ain't even got an AI picture because we know her daddy Black and Jamaican, right?
Yeah.
But people believe that propaganda. So for this sister to come along and tell me she's a flawed candidate, don't nobody give no $1 billion. That's nothing. Where do you think that $1 billion came from? From us? Them were small dollars donations from predominantly white people and white women. So wait a minute. White women helped contribute $1 billion to her, but we all of a sudden supposed to believe that all the white women turned against her. And then the day after, they can text all of us. Y'all just heard what the brother said. They got their votes changed at the machine. All of us got a text. Every black person. How did they get our number? What software? In other words, Roach, you got a show, I got a show, Nikeecha got a show doing something. Nikeecha, a lawyer. Nikeecha, why you? We need you to text everybody about reparations. Why you can't do that, Nikeecha? What program exists?
I hear you, they got, I want to know what that program is.
That's what I'm saying. What program they got to text all of us, then Nikeecha can't text and say, let's go get some reparations. Where is that program? We ain't asking the right questions. And if they got the ability to do that, they can mess with them voting machines.
You know, the same thing happened in Israel last month when all these pages start exploding on people's side. And everybody had a pager or something, cell phones. Somehow the Israeli Defense Forces was able to activate a remote control device to explode your cell phone or pager on your thing. Right now, every time me and my wife go out to dinner, Mark, when in a few hours, I get a thing say, thanks for coming to Hungry Jack's. Thanks for coming to Ben's Chili Bowl. How did they know I was there? I didn't tell them. You know what I mean? Everywhere I go, I'm being tracked. I don't know if this is from my old lifestyle or what. But it's scary. We got four other callers on. We'll take our
probably
next call.
Probably a little bit of Roach. Put a little bit of both Roaches. The old lifestyle, too, you know.
Yeah, you know it.
We did some things. We did
our next caller, question or comment, please. Yeah. Come on, you're on air. Question or comment, please.
Hello.
Or go to the next one. Question or comment, please. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. I'd like to know how many people believe in the machines have been rigged. Think Donald Trump bought the machines? I think he bought all the machines that got his name on the ballot to win.
I wouldn't be surprised, man.
Well, to be clear, he's working with Elon Musk. Elon Musk is going to outer space and whatnot. I mean, they got technology. And let me just say something else, y'all. The same devices that they text us on, that we get this disinformation from, these phones and all, even our computers, these computers we on right now, they are fueling a genocide of our people in the Congo. We got to get involved in that too, Nikeecha. The mineral wealth that is building these Tesla cars.
Yep.
Elon Musk got $30 billion a day after Trump won. Now, who does that? When in the world you ever heard somebody, if somebody win, get $30 billion in 24 hours, and these companies Roach just talked about with the profit prisons, all of that stuff is fueled by the mineral wealth in the Congo where there's child labor, slavery, and people being killed every day.
All right. Our cell phones, I mean, everything. All of them. Yep.
We'll take the next caller. Yeah.
Was the people's choice, not God's choice.
Okay,
this election was the people's choice, not God.
Mm. All right, we'll take our next caller. We got 2-3 more people waiting. I see a little rabbit running around in my house. Scared me to death. I thought it was a white rat. I ain't never seen a white rat. Come on, next caller, please. Question or comment?
This is Rick from Germany, man.
Boy, I knew you'd be calling, boy. Man, come on, Rick. What's your take on what's going on with this election over in America? You left D.C., years ago and lived in Germany. Now you call every month on that show. What's your take and what's the response over in Germany from the blacks over there about Trump winning the election here in America?
It's not just the blacks, but many Germans are saddened by what happened on November 5th, November 6th. And I would just like to say to your audience that the word on voting computers was put out in the late 1970s, that if you could put in a computer to record people's vote, you could rig the computer to miscalculate people's vote. And that was recorded and written about in the late 1970s. Thank you for the time.
Thank you. We're about out of time, Mark. We got like 3-4 minutes. Mark, you want to give some closing remarks? We've been talking about Black Americans express fear and resolve after Trump's victory. We got 5 minutes to go, but I want to get some your closing remarks and Nikeecha. Go ahead, Mark, and then Nikeecha.
Well, I'll just say as briefly as I can, and I thank you, Roach, for being. You know, Roach, you and I've been out here a long time fighting the good fight.
Yeah.
I guess you just established that a lot of folks say I'm older than them. I don't know how that happened, Nikeecha.
You're older than me, Mark. Even though I'm older than you, you're older than me.
I know. That's what everybody's saying now. Everywhere I go now, everybody, Nikeecha say I'm older than them. I don't know how that happened, but I'll take it. In any event, y'all, Dr. King and the movement and Malcolm and all of them, it didn't matter who the president was. We stood up for what we needed.
Needed, yes.
Nobody wait. Well, we got to wait for a Democrat to get in office to ask for what we want. We're going to have to get back out here and demand for ourselves. You don't wait on no Donald Trump or nobody else to do nothing for you. And all the brothers, like you say, now I'm going to give you some good news, Roach. When I was door knocking in North Carolina with impacted families of incarceration, knocking on doors and subsidized housing. So a whole lot of folk who had families locked up and folks, you know who I was knocking on doors with? An ex-offender himself, Michael Vick. Me and Michael Vick were knocking on doors in North Carolina, in Durham, North Carolina, saying, hey, you know, I'm Mike, I've been locked up, but we supporting this black woman. Everybody came out and said, that's what I'm saying. How you gonna get Taylor Swift and Bruce Springsteen to endorse a black woman? And in all the way, I get what white men gonna do what they're gonna do because they insecure and they dealing with a size issue, as Obama said. But the thing is that there's some stuff's gonna come out. I'm sure there's some numbers gonna come out soon that are gonna make it even more questionable how this went down and what happened. But in the meantime, folks, even if she had won, our duty is to hold power accountable and to speak truth to that power. So that's what we got to do. That's what we have to, and get involved in movement, folks. Don't be sitting around waiting. Social media is a means, not an end. Just posting something, looking stuff on social media is not liberation. Working in an organization, especially locally, schools are governed locally, election boards are governed locally, there's no national police accountability. We ain't gonna tweet our way to stop the police killing us. We ain't gonna stop the police killing us by tweeting it. We got to organize locally. We're not gonna be able to reform these incarceration systems by tweeting about it and TikToking it. We're gonna have to get involved. And all that is governed locally.
That's right.
Get involved. You don't like your loved ones being locked up? You don't like them making no profit off your loved ones being locked up? Get up and do something about it and organize in your local community, please.
You know, in closing, Mark, there's 79 million people with criminal records in America, 79 million. 46 to 48 million can vote depending on which state you're in.
That's right.
Marion Barry came out in 94. We organized a returning citizens vote. But what wasn't publicized, we got the mothers, wives, sisters, and daughters of those people incarcerated who couldn't vote. So if we got 79 million people with criminal records, 7 out of every 10 black males have a criminal record or arrest on their record. So we had the vote, we had the people out there, but we went in, as you said, to organize, mobilize, strategize, and put these people on the front line. We can do it, we got the power, but we haven't been able to organize and do it. Nikesh, you got any closing remarks before we get out of here?
Yes, I just want to say, Mark, if you have not already done so, if you could put in writing the analysis you started this program out with respect to the voting on the ballot in terms of Dems, but not curiously, the same vote did not go to Kamala Harris. If you could kind of put that in writing, I would appreciate that because I really want to get that out very widespread.
Thank you.
Okay.
And thank you for joining us this morning, Mark Thompson. We'll be calling you back, man, because I've been trying to reach you because we want to talk about what's going on in our community locally and nationally, man.
Yes,
and you got your poll.
Martine, how you doing? Martine ain't saying much. What you doing, Martine? Is Roach providing for you in the manner you're accustomed?
More so than you can imagine.
Roach, you probably want me to ask the other way around. Is she providing for you in the way you need to be?
Boy, you said a mouthful that time.
Y'all taking this in another direction.
Thank you. Our guest has been Mark Thompson, community activist, civil rights activist. And Mark, we've been bringing you back on, man, because we need your perspective on the local and national level about these issues that are impacting our community. Thank you for all that you've been doing.
And you still ain't saying Merry Christmas to me.
Well, I said right now, Merry Christmas, Mark Thompson.
Thank you, brother.
Remember, your inner voice is never wrong. Merry Christmas.
Never had a chance to grow and now it's winter. Winter in America. Yes, and all of the hills have been killed. America. And ain't nobody fighting, 'cause nobody knows what to say. Save your soul, Lord knows, from winter in America.
On Election Day 1992, throngs of mostly black voters gathered in Detroit City Hall to applaud the installation of the first Democrat in the White House in 12 years. When the applause died down, one black politician said presciently, "It really don't matter. The president could be Democrat or Republican, white or black. The Dow Jones can go up or down 500 points, and black folks still gonna be poor." Thursdays at 2 p.m. beginning November 14th, Short Money Dissecting Racial Capitalism with host John Jeter explores the intransigence of black poverty and how the dispossession of the African-American community affects the nation's bottom line. That's Thursdays, 2 p.m., Short Money Dissecting Racial Capitalism with host John Jeter on WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
This is Dr. Ron Daniels, president of the Institute of the Black World 21st Century, with an announcement of a very important event, a national town hall meeting to assess the impact of the 2024 presidential election on the state of Black America and the Pan-African world. Progress or disaster. Thursday, November 14th, 6:30 p.m. sharp at the New York Avenue Presbyterian Church, 1313 New York Avenue Northwest in Washington, D.C. Speakers include Mark Morial, Dr. Julianne Malvo, Melanie Campbell, Reverend Siobhan Arlene Bradley, Hillary Shelton, Dr. George Frazier, Mel Foote, Maurice Mitchell, and Dr. Melina Abdullah. For further information, visit the website ibw21.org. That's ibw21.org.
Sophie's Parlor is the original women's radio collective. Wednesdays from 3 to 5 p.m., the best music divas on radio at 89.3 FM and sophiesparlor.blogspot.com.
Blues Alley is opening its doors to WPFW for two benefit shows on Wednesday, November 20th. DC's Great Guitars will feature three generations of players, Anthony Pirog and his wife and collaborator Janelle Lapine, Telecaster player David W. Chappell, and elder statesman Rick Whitehead, all playing solos, duets, and together in a full group. That's Wednesday, November 20th, two shows at 7 and 9:30. Ticket information is available at bluesalley.com/events.
Dispelling disinformation, checking the facts, speeches to the spoken word, Marley to Basie, Etta to DMX, En Vogue to Chick, Malcolm to AOC. Jazz and Justice Radio is doing its part, but we need your voice. WPFW is asking for your opinion as part of its 2024 Community Needs Assessment. More info at WPFWFM.org. It's your opportunity to contribute ideas and speak your piece.
The Collision, where sports and politics smash. Thursdays at 10 a.m. and on iTunes and Google Play. WPFW, Washington, D.C.
Hi, this is Tom Cole, host of G-Strings, here on WPFW every Sunday morning. I and the rest of the station's volunteers and staff would like to invite you to join the WPFW Legacy Listener Circle by making a contribution to the station's future through your estate plan. There are a lot of ways to do that, through your IRA or retirement plan, by gifting us life insurance, or through your donor-advised fund. We'd be happy to have a confidential discussion with you as you consider a planned gift to the station. Please reach out to us at plannedgiving@wpfw.org or call us at 202.org or call us at 202-588-0999.